Have you ever been frustrated and discouraged by the lack of progress that you're making on something? In today's conversation, I'm going to share a powerful technique so that you can avoid this kind of frustration and discouragement in the future. I know that this technique works because I use it. I use it all the time, and I want you to use it too. And it's going to help you not just in business, but also in your personal life. This is the Team of a Lifetime show. I'm your host, Sally Love, and I have helped hundreds of leaders in industrial manufacturing, construction, and on capital projects of up to $24 billion transform their failing or mediocre teams into exceptional teams. Teams that delivered results that people didn't even believe were possible. And that's what the Team of a Lifetime show is all about. Success stories, successful team approaches, and lessons learned to help you transform your team into the team of a lifetime. So here you are, you had this grand plan to make a lot of progress towards something you were working on. And all of a sudden, now you're down in the dumps because you haven't made as much progress as you anticipated. I know that feeling. I experienced this too, and I continue to, more times than I can even recall. We all do. We overestimate how much we can do, or we underestimate how long it's going to take to do something. And then that's when we get frustrated and disappointed, feeling like that we aren't making enough progress. And sometimes we even convince ourselves we're not making any progress at all. But of course, we are. The turning point for me was on the golf course. Now, I remember it like it was yesterday. Our small group of eight people gathered in the resort dining room for a really nice breakfast. And then we made our way to the driving range where our golf instructor, Mr. Ralph, as we all affectionately referred to him, was waiting for us. Mr. Ralph was this tall, grandfatherly type man. He was a gentle giant. Everyone instantly connected with him. Mr. Ralph introduced himself and he gave us an overview of what each day of this golf school was going to be like. He said, first, we will work on your golf game here on the driving range in the morning. We'll take a break for lunch and then we'll head to the golf course and I'll provide personalized instruction to each of you on the golf course. So after that brief introduction, we each took our designated place on the range and we started hitting golf balls, bucket after bucket after bucket of golf balls. Now, it was July in Florida. The heat and the humidity were practically unbearable. Even with a visor on, I could feel the sun just beating down on my face. And I stood there wondering, why exactly had I signed up for golf school in the July Florida heat? But I was playing a lot of golf at the time, and like most golfers, I had visions of being a fantastic golfer. So I had signed up for this total immersion golf school, thinking that that would be a great boost in my golf abilities. We stood there all morning hitting buckets of golf balls. And after a much appreciated long lunch and drinking what seemed like gallons of water and a little sweet tea in my case for good measure, we got in our golf carts and we headed to the first tee box. Now, since I like to play golf, not practice golf, I was pretty excited to get instruction on the golf course instead of the driving range. Mr. Ralph asked me to hit 20 golf balls from the tee box. And after I hit the last one, we got in the golf cart and we drove out to the fairway. And it was like looking at a scatter diagram. Now, I'm an engineer, so of course I love scatter diagrams. A few of my shots were in the rough on the left. A couple were in the sand trap off to my right, and the rest, believe it or not, were in the fairway. And most of those balls that were in the fairway weren't all that far from each other. Mr. Ralph and I stood there in the fairway assessing my 20 shots. Being a good coach, he asked me what I thought about my drives. And I replied saying, I sure wish I had hit my drives farther. Now, I imagine that every golf student Mr. Ralph ever coached throughout his career had visions of hitting the golf ball a mile. Mr. Ralph, though, patiently stood there listening to me make my negative assessment of the situation. Then, being the gentleman that he was, Mr. Ralph said, Sally, look back at the tee box. Look back at the tee box? I wasn't sure I'd heard him correctly. After all, I was focused on the green up ahead. I wasn't focused on where we had already been. And standing there in the fairway, I did as Mr. Ralph said. I turned around and I looked back at the tee box. And Mr. Ralph said, Sally, what do you see? And you know what? The really interesting thing was that when I stood in the fairway and looked back, I could see that my drives were really good. The tee box was a long way back there, anywhere from 180 to about 195 yards. Looking back at the tee box gave me a different perspective than I had standing in the fairway. And thanks to Mr. Ralph, a great golf coach, instructing me to look back at the tee box, I discovered the importance of taking stock of the progress you've already made. I could see that driving the golf ball was something I was pretty good at. And seeing that, letting that sink in, created excitement about what I could accomplish with my golf game. And you are going to experience excitement, too, for whatever it is you're working on when you look back at the progress you've made. Now, it's been over 23 years since I stood in that sweltering Florida heat and humidity out there in the fairway with Mr. Ralph. And I've since discovered that just as I did on the golf course that day, most people focus on what they haven't accomplished more than they focus on the progress that they've already made. Have you read the book, The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Ben Hardy? If you haven't, and you want to explore this phenomenon of looking back to make accelerated progress going forward, then I highly recommend that you read it. In the book, Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy talk about the gap as being where we are focused, even obsessed with something we haven't yet achieved or attained. Take goals, for example. Now, goals are a great thing, and high achievers love setting goals and achieving goals. I'm a big goal setter kind of person. But if you're in the gap, as Ben Hardy and Dan Sullivan say, you're focused on where you have fallen short in those goals. You're looking at what aspect of those goals you haven't accomplished. And that isn't good for the psyche. And operating in the gap prevents us from living and enjoying the here and now because we're so focused on what we haven't done, what we haven't achieved, the success we haven't attained, and what we don't yet have. That's the way it was for me that day in the golf school. I was definitely operating from the gap. I wasn't appreciating how good my tee shots were, how good my golf game already was. Driving the golf ball from the tee box was something that I did pretty well before the golf school. And in just the first morning of the golf school, Mr. Ralph had helped me hit my drive straighter. But at the time, I wasn't satisfied that I was only driving the ball 180 yards and occasionally 195 to 200 yards. I wanted to consistently drive the ball 195 to 200 yards, and I wanted them to be in the fairway every time. Why was that, though? It's because I was comparing my golf game to the ideal in my mind. A woman of my age and athletic ability should be able to drive the ball 195 to 200 yards, I had told myself. That was the ideal that I had set in my own mind. And since I hadn't yet achieved that ideal I'd set for myself, I wasn't happy with my golf game. Living in the gap doesn't generate much happiness. And depending on the ideal that we've set for ourselves on something, when living in the gap, we may be just downright miserable, not just at work, but in our personal lives as well. Now, I wasn't miserable about my golf game or my life, but after all, there was a reason I signed up for an intensive golf school in Florida in July. There's nothing wrong with wanting to improve at something. That's human nature. But only if we also allow ourselves to appreciate the progress we're making as we work to improve. When Mr. Ralph had me look back at the tee box, it changed my perspective. No longer was I focused on the gap, the 20 to 30 yards I thought I should have achieved with my drives off the tee box, but hadn't yet. Instead, I could see very clearly the gain that I had already made in my golf game. Not just the gain that one day at the golf course, but all of the gain that I had made from practicing and playing golf for several years. Operating from the gap of focusing on what we haven't yet achieved is so common. Many people believe it's the only mindset one can have if they're going to be successful, especially high achievers. High achievers have been so conditioned to believe that this is the one mindset that separates them from other people who are not successful. You've seen this play out around you, and possibly you've been doing this yourself. Let's take a project manager on a capital project or a corporate initiative. They may say something like, "As soon as we reach that schedule milestone, we'll be in great shape." So the team works hard and they achieve that schedule milestone, but the project manager can't relax or celebrate the achievement. They are immediately focused on the next milestone that has to be attained, and then the one after that, and the one after that. So their team is in a perpetual state of living in the gap instead of the gain. When I'm working with leaders to help them build an exceptional team, I'll ask, "How often do you celebrate team successes?" And they usually give me one of two responses. Either they say, "Oh, we celebrate often." Then when I ask them, "When was the last time they celebrated with their team?" they either can't remember or they are reminded that it was actually a long time ago. In other words, they intended to celebrate often, but they got caught up operating from the gap, putting the recognition and the celebration of accomplishment off because there was another milestone to achieve. And that's the biggest thing I think we need to realize. There's always another milestone to achieve. Even when you finish a big project and it's successful, the next milestone is what? It's the next project, right? This is not the sign of a great leader. Great leaders celebrate accomplishments all along the way. Now, I said I usually get one of two responses. The other response I get is, "We haven't finished the project yet. We haven't been successful yet." Just think about the duration of a lot of capital projects. Many of them last years. The team can't wait until the end to celebrate success. That would be like me waiting until I was a scratch golfer before I celebrated any successes on the golf course. And by the way, I would not be celebrating because I never became a scratch golfer. By the very nature of how capital projects are executed, most of the people who contribute to the project won't even be on the project at the end. You can't wait until the project has ended. You have to celebrate progress, wins, and successes all along the way. So I'm wondering, have you and your team looked back at your tee box this year? As I'm recording this, we're almost to the end of the year. What better time than the end of the year to take stock of the progress you and your team have already made? It is a great time to start operating from the gain. Go into the new year with a new mindset of operating from the gain instead of from the gap. So take out pen and paper, open up your laptop or phone and start typing. Either way, capture all the gains you've made this year. I can promise you two things when you do this. First, you're going to be amazed at how much progress you've made. And you're going to be much more fulfilled and more content. And you're going to feel a level of freedom that you haven't felt in a long time. And after you've done this individually, get your team together and have the entire team do the same exercise of focusing on the progress and all the gains that have been made this year. Look back at the tee box and really recognize and appreciate all the progress that's been made. This exercise will reset your mindset, allowing you to become a much more effective leader, and it will reset your team's mindset and position them to become an exceptional team. Take that mindset with you into the new year. If you've been operating from the gap, it will be easy to revert back because you're very conditioned by it. I know, I speak from experience. You may have been operating from the gap for years, maybe decades. Commit to operating from the gain from now on. Next year, get your team to consistently look back at the tee box to see and appreciate and celebrate how much progress they've already made. I recommend doing this at the end of each month and at the end of each quarter. When the team sees the progress that they've made, they'll be energized. They'll have more confidence. And that perspective of the gain will refuel their commitment to success. And what about you? You'll be operating from a place of abundance rather than lack, a place of victory instead of defeat. You'll feel more content and grateful for your team and everything else you have in your life. Remember to always look back at the tee box. Hey, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation today. I really appreciate it. Will you help me get the Team of a Lifetime show to more people who will benefit from it? If you would do me a big favor and hit the share button and text this episode or another one of your favorite episodes from the show to a friend or a fellow team member, that would be so helpful. And be sure to follow the show as well. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Team of a Lifetime show.